Gridlock. Broken.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal money for highway projects and unemployment benefits is flowing yet again this morning. Late yesterday, the Senate broke a logjam that disrupted the lives of thousands of unemployed Americans. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from our Washington studio this morning. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
How did we get here?
Well, in the Senate, one senator can hold everything up. And in this case, it was Republican Senator Jim Bunning. He delayed a vote on funding that would have extended unemployment benefits and paid workers on federal highway construction projects. Bunning gave in yesterday, as you mentioned, and the Senate then passed a stopgap bill, which already passed the House last week.
And what were the economic effects of the Senate logjam, Nancy?
Well, unemployment benefits expired on Sunday, and 400,000 Americans faced the loss of unemployment checks that help them pay the bills while they look for new jobs. They also temporarily lost federal funding for their COBRA insurance, and that's the insurance that you can buy when you lose your job or leave your job. But the federal money will soon be flowing again thanks to this stopgap bill the Senate passed, and President Obama is expected to sign it right away. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the money is desperately needed.
If there were ever an emergency, this is it. It's not about the legislative process or Senate rules. It's about the rights of individuals to survive in America.
But this is just a temporary solution, right, Nancy?
That's right, Steve. After the Senate is getting to work now on a $100 billion bill, and that would extend unemployment benefits right through the end of the year. It would also help states pay for health insurance costs and renew some tax breaks for businesses and individuals.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reporting from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's check some numbers. Asian markets closed mostly higher today. The Nikkei added about a third of a percent, but the Hang Seng lost a little ground today. On Wall Street yesterday, not much movement. The Dow wound up ahead only by 2 points. It closed at 10,405. European markets are off less than a quarter of a percent right now, but shares seem to be making a rebound after Greece announced it's taking budget-cutting measures even further to reduce its debt. London's FTSE is flat right now. After years of expansion, the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, says it's going to cut back some of its services. The taxpayer-funded broadcaster's been accused of caving in to commercial rivals. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The BBC runs its TV, radio and online empire on taxpayers' cash, a $4.5 billion a year subsidy. That's unfair, say commercial competitors like Rupert Murdoch. Now there's a general election in the offing. A Conservative government with less enthusiasm for the public sector could come to power. The BBC's decided to take preemptive action. It plans to shrink a little, to scrap two radio stations and cut funding for its website by a quarter. Jeremy Deer is with the National Union of Journalists. He says the BBC is appeasing its commercially motivated rivals.
I think a lot of BBC staff are slightly sick of the BBC seeming to cave in every time someone criticises or attacks them. Inevitably, if they do that, they're going to end up smaller and more marginalised.
He says a national treasure is in jeopardy and there could be strike action against the cuts. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
The next smash in social media, smash hit, mobile applications that don't ask about what you're doing, but where you are. Users like these apps because they're fun to use with friends. Businesses like them because they get to know their customers. But all this information sharing comes at a price. From member station WBHM in Birmingham, Alabama, Gigi Duban reports.
There's a saying, misery loves company. And being stranded at the airport for 8 hours ranks pretty high on the misery scale. But Jim Patillo, a Birmingham lawyer who recently was stuck at O'Hare, found a way to take the edge off.
Foursquare helped me find not only places to eat and not eat in the airport, but also kind of helped me commiserate with some of the other stranded travelers.
Foursquare is one of a growing number of location-sharing applications. Users can broadcast their whereabouts through check-ins on their mobile devices and connect with others nearby. But there's a risk. Patillo has checked in from home before, blasting out his home address with a map on Twitter. Afterwards, he says he realized that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do.
If I later broadcast, I'm in Chicago for the weekend, there's my home unoccupied. Those are some legitimate security concerns.
And that's exactly the point behind the new website, pleaserobme.com. The site compiles a list of Foursquare users who've recently checked in somewhere. Above the listings, it says recent empty homes. The creators of Please Rob Me say they don't encourage burglary. In a written statement, they say, quote, "It was all about engagement with the privacy issue. In spite of the privacy concerns, it seems everyone wants a slice of the location sharing pie." Take Yelp, for example. Stephanie Ichinose is communications director for the company.
Yelp is really all about connecting consumers with local businesses.
Since 2005, Yelp users have posted reviews of everything from restaurants to gas stations. But recently, the company added a check-in feature. Ichinose says that while the check-ins allow you to find out where your friends are or broadcast your own whereabouts, they're more about credibility. In other words, a reviewer who has checked in to the same place 15 times probably knows his stuff.
And so it just allows for, you know, another layer of trust.
And trust is something that many users of these mobile applications seem to have in abundance. In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, Topeka, Kansas is now, at least unofficially, Google, Kansas. The mayor temporarily changed the city's name in hopes the internet giant will choose it as a test site for its ultra-fast connection. Now, this sort of stunt's been done before in Topeka, Google. In 1998, the city changed its name to Topikachu in honor of Pokemon. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.